VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do welcome you to a News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. We've got a ton of stories and then some in order to pass along a lot of information to you, some of which you can take action on, certainly by prayer, praying for this nation. Sometimes it requires making phone calls as well to legislators and to inform others and to take a stand where you need to take a stand, to be salt and indeed to be light in this very dark time in which we live. Friends, we're going to cover a number of stories. We thank Sandy for pulling so much information together here. We've got Karen on the phones today and Dennis up in the control room, making sure we're all set to go. So thank you so much for joining us here. We're going to begin with a story, breaking news that came out today, and that is the Supreme Court has now agreed to expedite and hear two challenges to Texas's new heartbeat law that, in essence, bans abortions after 6 weeks. From FoxNews.com, one case is the Department of Justice challenging against the Texas law. Another will concern a private organization's lawsuit. The court appears to be limiting its consideration, at least in the DOJ case, to only a procedural issue of whether the federal government is allowed to sue over the law. This means that the court would not address the merits of the Texas law in the case, but the arguments are scheduled for November the 1st, a week from Monday. Court declined to halt the law in the interim, which is good news in itself, but to be praying for the Supreme Court as they hear this case and the issues pertaining to the merits of it on November the 1st. Did you know, and LifeNews.com has a headline, did you know that Joe Biden is spending more time promoting abortion than solving the border crisis or inflation? I mean, he has sicked his Department of Justice into this heartbeat law in the state of Texas like you wouldn't believe, making sure that he's trying to do everything possible to ensure that babies after 6 weeks are killed in the womb, that people would have the so-called right to kill them in the womb. WND.com, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has released a video boasting about the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan and vowing another attack on the scale of 9/11, but even more painful. The video, according to the Middle East Media Research Institute, is titled "A Message to the American People, You Have Yet to Understand the Lesson." It features Ibrahim Al-Qusi, who is a former prisoner at the U.S. facility in Gitmo. How did he get released? Well, we've seen lots of prisoners released under the Obama administration and also under the Biden administration. He's a former prisoner at the facility, and he is now warning another attack, vowing another attack on the scale of 9/11, but even more painful. He said regarding the disastrous U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan that the greatest loss America suffered, beside its material and human losses, is its reputation and prestige as a superpower and the most powerful country in the world. The Taliban won a magnificent victory, he said, for they have understood the essence of this religion and the nature of the conflict, that they are men whose hands, by the grace of Allah alone, buried a third empire in the soil of Afghanistan and restored the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan to rule by the Sharia of Allah, even if America and its allies hate it. Isn't that amazing? Taliban in full force, Sharia in full force in Afghanistan. PJ Media reports advocates of gun control should take note of recent developments in Norway. A convert to Islam in the city of Kongsberg, southwest of Oslo, began shooting at random people with a bow and arrow. Police confronted him, but police in Norway are unarmed. Can you believe that, folks? The police are unarmed, so they had to retreat when he began firing arrows at them. He was apprehended some 35 minutes later, but he had murdered five people in the meantime. Lessons for foes of the Second Amendment should be obvious. The attacker, a Danish citizen, a convert to Islam, said he hadn't embraced the commentary saying he hadn't embraced yet the religion of peace and tolerance that non-Muslim politicians in the West keep telling us about. Islam is not a religion of peace. It killed the infidel. Well, bows and arrows now, something that's been used in Norway. WND.com, the ominous ripple effects of President Joe Biden's Afghanistan disaster affirm that he has emboldened and incentivized more terrorism in the Middle East. This not only jeopardizes the unstable region, but is a direct threat to U.S. national security. The Taliban's acting interior minister gleefully has offered money and plots of land to the relatives of jihadi suicide bombers, according to Twitter photos posted by the spokesman for Afghanistan's Ministry of Interior Affairs. Many of the victims of these attacks during the past 20 years have been American soldiers who've been injured, maimed, or murdered by jihadis, and they're posting photos on Twitter? What happened to Twitter? You know what? They still have President Trump banned on Twitter. Think about that, folks. Banned the former president of the United States, and here you're putting up the photos of the Taliban giving land and money to jihadis who killed U.S. soldiers. WND.com, 2 months after Afghanistan fell to the Taliban, desperation is ravaging the people that America left behind. In White House remarks after the last Americans left Afghanistan, President Biden said it was time to look forward to a future that's safer, to a future that's more secure. But to Afghan families spiraling deeper into poverty, with every passing day, the future is bleak and desperate. A report in the Wall Street Journal quoted a woman named Saliha, who said she sold a three-year-old daughter to satisfy a $550 debt. Sold her child. She said, if life continues to be this awful, I will kill my children and myself. I don't even know what we will eat tonight. Last month, the United Nations Development Program report predicted the country was heading for universal poverty. The report predicted that poverty, which is estimated now at 72% of the population, will hit 97%. Front page mag.com, disaster in the making, 12,000 Afghans in U.S. now with no ID whatsoever. The consequences could be positively explosive. Maybe this is what the terrorist attack is looking like that's warned against us. Another Biden catastrophe in the offing. But Team Biden is working hard to cover it up. But there's a bipartisan delegation from the House, including some members of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, that denied admission to Camp Asala. It's a U.S.-run military facility in Qatar, where over 2,000 American-born Afghan evacuees are currently being housed. There's a briefing from Congressman Issa saying it was shocking to a lot of members. How shocking? For one thing, lawmakers were told that fully 12,000 of the Afghans who had come to the camp and then went on to the U.S. had no identification at all. Visas? Come on, man, Issa stated. They came with nothing. No Afghan ID, no ID of any sorts. Those people were all forwarded on to the U.S., and there's quite an admission. So many people had no idea whatsoever and yet find themselves in the United States today based on what they said. WesternJournal.com reporting a new advanced Chinese weapon. Surprise, the U.S. left them flat-footed. According to a new report, in August, China tested a hypersonic nuclear-capable missile that left one source saying, quote, "We have no idea how they did this," according to the Financial Times. The test went like this. China launched a rocket carrying what is known as a hypersonic glide vehicle. The missile circled the Earth in a low orbit toward its target, which it missed by roughly 25 miles. Hypersonic vehicles travel at Mach 5 or faster. The report from the Financial Times said the test reveals that China was, quote, far more advanced than U.S. officials realized. The NationalPulse.com indicating that the National Institutes of Health admitted that EcoHealth Alliance, it's a research partner of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, funded by Fauci, carried out gain-of-function research and failed to report the findings as was required by the terms of the grant. The admission comes in a letter from the principal deputy director of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Lawrence Tabak, in response to Congressman James Comer's inquiries about a controversial multi-million-dollar grant from Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, to the EcoHealth Alliance. The COVID-focused grant ultimately led the U.S. taxpayer dollars funding EcoHealth Alliance's longtime collaboration with the Chinese Communist Party-run lab, believed to be by many to be the source for COVID-19. Tabak explains that the limited experimental described in the final progress report provided by EcoHealth Alliance was testing if spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model. Well, the bombshell report, the NIH admitting that Fauci lied about gain-of-function funding in Wuhan. Let's also look at WND.com. Food and Drug Administration has joined the media in mocking users of ivermectin, but the antiviral drug is featured on the National Institutes of Health website as a treatment for COVID-19. It's under a section, antiviral agents that are approved or under evaluation for the treatment of COVID-19. Ivermectin has not been approved as a COVID-19 treatment, but it has been used off-label, as are 10 to 20% of all prescribed drugs for COVID-19 patients, and it's been shown to be effective in at least 65 controlled studies and 32 randomized controlled trials as a preventative and early and late-stage treatment. Studies have demonstrated its ability to inhibit the replication of SARS-CoV-2, as well as its strong anti-inflammatory properties. WesternJournal.com reporting unvaccinated Americans could spark a fifth wave of COVID-19. That, according to Dr. Fauci, who says he's opposed to those who feel his science-based truth is inconvenient for them. He said the problem is, as we all know, we still have approximately 66 million people who are eligible to be vaccinated who are not vaccinated. The degree to which we continue to come down in that slope will depend on how well we do about getting more people vaccinated. If we don't do very well in that regard, there's always the danger that there will be enough circulating virus that you can have a stalling of the diminishing of the number of cases. And when that happens, as we've seen in the past with other waves that we've been through, there's the danger of resurgence. Fauci warning that unvaccinated will spark a fifth wave of the virus. Now, let's look at LifeSiteNews.com. Over the past several months, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin has emerged as one of the most vocal critics of the COVID-19 vaccines, most recently warning that the worst is yet to come from the Biden administration and their efforts to force compliance. Johnson accuses the Biden administration and its allies in corporate and social media of denying three realities. Number one, natural immunity. Number two, post-vaccination infections, and three, vaccine injuries and deaths. Those of us who attempt to inform the public of these three realities are not only the targets of vilification, we are also magnets for people who desperately want their stories to be told so others can avoid harm. Johnson said over the last few weeks, the stories have become more numerous and more alarming. He said, last week I received a letter from a Wisconsin constituent who is a pilot for a U.S.-based airline. The most alarming anecdote in this letter involved a recently vaccinated pilot who sustained over a two-day period partial blindness in one eye, then severe migraine headaches. His doctor told him he had suffered microstrokes. His warning comes as a growing body of data indicates that mass vaccination is failing to curb the spread of the virus. As NBC News reported last week, more Americans died of COVID-19 this year, as 353,000, than in all of 2020. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have scientists finally solved the mystery of the origin of life?
No, they haven't, Chris. And many of their claims reveal their desperate state. Recently, a simple microbe was discovered around a deep-sea volcanic vent. It was totally unique, and it was hoped that this microbe would tell us something about the origin of life. But now that this microbe has been well studied, it was found not to be primitive at all. It is equally complex as many of the microbes alive today and could not be considered an ancestor of any of them. And that's the point we can learn. Even the simplest living things are unimaginably complex. Each is different from the other, and yet each bears the signature of having been created by a very intelligent designer. None of these got here through random evolution. They were created by an intelligent creator back in Genesis.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America with a Friday News Roundup. Saw an interesting article about a concerned physician assistant, her name Deborah Conrad, who convinced her hospital to carefully track the COVID-19 vaccination status of every patient admitted to the hospital. The result is reported. She detailed her hospital serves as a community in which less than 50% of the individuals were vaccinated for COVID-19, but yet 90% of the individuals admitted to her hospital were documented to have received the vaccine. Even more troubling is that there were many individuals who were young, many who presented with unusual or unexpected health events, many who were admitted months after vaccine. Sadly, when Ms. Conrad reached out to health authorities herself, she was ignored. A law firm then sent a letter to the CDC and FDA on her behalf, yet neither agency has responded. Even worse, when doctors came to her for assistance with filing various reports for their patients, the hospital prohibited her from filling out these reports and filing the reports. Now, let's couple that with the story that came from WND.com this week. On its website, OSHA is urging employers not to report any side effect workers may experience from COVID-19 vaccines because it would discourage others from getting vaccinated. Congressman Thomas Massey spotlighted the statement on Twitter. An FAQ page for the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, a branch of the Department of Labor, states that OSHA will not enforce the recording requirements until at least next May. They don't want the American public to know who is being injured. The question, are adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine recordable on the OSHA record-keeping log? The answer, DOL, Department of Labor, and OSHA, as well as other federal agencies, are working diligently to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations. OSHA does not wish to have any appearance of discouraging workers from receiving COVID-19 vaccination, and also does not wish to disincentivize employers' vaccination efforts. As a result, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR's 1904's recording requirements to require any employers to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination at least through May of 2022. We will reevaluate the agency's position at that time to determine the best course of action moving forward. OSHA changed the policy, the reporting guidance in May. Previously, it stated employers could be held liable if they mandated COVID-19 shots as a condition of employment and an employee experienced adverse reactions. And now they're telling employers, guiding them, do not fill out adverse effect reports. We're trying to encourage people to get the shot, not to get the shot. And periodically, we hear from healthcare professionals. We say our information is all wrong. Well, go check out what OSHA is saying. Why don't they want the American people to know who is being injured and what injuries are coming from the shot? Townhall.com. Speaking during an interview with Fox News Monday afternoon, former CDC Director Robert Redfield said, quote, "A lot of times people may feel it's a rare event that fully vaccinated people die. I happen to be the senior advisor to Governor Hogan in the state of Maryland. In the last 6 to 8 weeks, more than 40% of people who died in Maryland were fully vaccinated." LifeSiteNews.com. Fully vaccinated people accounted for the vast majority of COVID-19 deaths in Sweden and the UK last month, government data had revealed, amid a rise in breakthrough cases and deaths in other Western countries. The Public Health Agency of Sweden reported earlier this month that 70% of COVID-19 deaths between September 1 and 24 occurred in the fully vaccinated. Sweden recorded around 130 fatal COVID cases during that time frame. A report by the UK Health Security Agency published October 7th noted that the most British COVID-19 deaths in September were among the fully vaccinated, as were most hospitalization. The UK has a nearly identical vaccination rate to Sweden's. Between September 6th and October 3rd, 70% of deadly COVID cases occurred in the fully jabbed, according to the UK HSA data, with 2,281 deaths in fully vaccinated people, 611 deaths in unvaccinated. Last night, President Biden held a town hall event, on CNN. And many questions came up. And part of it was the question Cooper Anderson had asked, or Anderson Cooper, rather, on the matter of forced shots and should people be let go from their jobs. Listen to how the president mocked freedom.
Mr. President, let me ask you a follow about that. As many as one in three emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with city vaccine mandates. I'm wondering where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. By the way, I waited until July to talk about mandating because I tried everything else possible. The mandates are working. All the stuff about people leaving and people getting you have everyone from United Airlines to Spirit, all these airlines, we're not going to get all 96-97% of the people have gotten the vaccine. All the talk about all these folks who are going to leave the military if they're mandated, not true. You got about a 90-some% vaccination rate. I mean, so there's the idea is that, look, the two things that concern me. One are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
freedom.
Come on, freedom. Huh. Let's go back and read our funding documents, Mr. President. Taking a look at LifeSiteNews.com, as COVID-19 vaccine mandate deadlines approach for millions of Americans, a Thursday report by The Hill found that 1,887 Washington state employees and healthcare workers have been forced out of their jobs for standing up to Democrat Governor Jay Inslee's strict COVID-19 jab mandate. Employees may request a medical or religious exemption, but it's unclear how many such exemptions have been or will be approved. And one of the things, we'll be hearing a clip in a little while here from the Attorney General, but one of the things that has come out is that, oh yes, we have religious exemptions. However, they won't grant them. They will not grant the exemptions. Oh, yes, you can apply for that. We just won't grant it. From Western Journal, on Monday, Washington State University head coach Nick Rolovich was fired. We mentioned that the other day on the program for not getting the mandated shot. 2 days later now, his lawyer said he plans to sue the school that ousted him. Newsmax.com, Vermont, seeking record high numbers of reported new cases of COVID infections despite nearly 90% of the state's teenage and adult population having received at least one dose of the vax, data and records show. Tuesday's seven-day average of 232 new reported cases, slightly lower than the state's record average of 246, reached on October 13th, but there was a single-day high of 345 cases last Saturday, despite 80% having received the shot. New York City mandates vaccination for firefighters and police. This coming from the Washington Examiner, New York City's COVID vaccine mandate will now apply to municipal workers, including firefighters and police. The mandate is not without its perks. City employees, about some 160,000, 500 of them will reportedly receive a $500 bonus if they get the first jab at a city-organized vax site. It's a mandate now for city agencies, all city workers. It's a time for everyone to get vaccinated. Bill de Blasio said Wednesday, our public employers are going to lead us out of the COVID era. The program begins Wednesday, ends on October 29th at 5 p.m. Newsmax.com, a Florida battalion chief fired for refusing to discipline workers who had not gotten the vax in violation of a requirement for county employees. Orange County Fire Rescue Battalion Chief Stephen Davis was fired Tuesday for failure to follow a direct order and issue disciplinary actions earlier this month, said Lisa McDonald, spokesman for the fire department in Metro Orlando. But a union representative of firefighters told WFTV, that Davis did not write up the disciplines because the workers on the list were mistakenly identified as unvaccinated or hadn't gotten their request for religious exemptions in on time. As a result, he has been fired. CNSNews.com, as soon as the federal health authorities approve the Pfizer vaccine for young children, a decision has not yet been made, but the White House is ready to get shots in the arms. President Biden's COVID team announced Wednesday. saying, quote, we expect the FDA and the CDC's decision on the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 to 11 in the next couple of weeks. This is Jeff Zients saying, we know millions of parents have been waiting for COVID-19 vaccine for kids in this age group, and should the FDA and CDC authorize the vaccine, we'll be ready to get shots in arms. He said the goal is to vaccinate as many kids 5 to 11 years of age as possible. To accomplish that, the White House will be offering free COVID shots in settings that parents and kids are familiar with and trust, including on-site clinics and schools, pediatricians' offices, local pharmacies, and health clinics. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Dr. Rochelle Walensky said during a White House briefing Wednesday her agency will recommend masks for school children even after the vaccines are administered for children ages 5 to 11. Not so for Florida, says the new Surgeon General in Florida. This is Dr. Joseph Latipo. He argued that data does not support mask mandates in schools to stop the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. He insisted that parents, not school boards or governors, should make the decision whether their children wear masks at school. Here's what he had to say.
I want you guys to step back for a moment from what you hear sort of constantly on TV. And just very briefly, in terms of the data that that supports mask use in kids and mandates for masks in kids, it is very weak, and that's a fact. But there's a substantial gap between the quality of the data out there supporting masking kids, yielding any benefit for kids whatsoever, factual, and what we're hearing from some of our public health leadership in other states and nationally. In Florida, we're going to stay close to the data, and we're going to let you know how we feel about the data. And the data do not support any clinical benefit for children in schools with mask mandates. The highest quality data find no evidence of benefit. And we're going to stick with that because that's what the data show. And the other thing I'll just add is that, you know, as a parent, hearing these stories of other parents and what they're going through and seeing other parents around the country, these are impossible situations parents are being put in. Putting a mask, something on the face of your child, that's a parent's decision. It's not a school's decision. It's not a school board's decision. It's not a governor's decision. It's no one else's decision except for the parent. And parents are being placed in these impossible situations related to the health of their children. I'm here to help support parents in voicing how they feel their children should be in the world. And I'm going to be here to help with that, to support that.
This is Florida's new Surgeon General, Dr. Joseph Latipo. Interesting comments here. We'll let you have comment on that a little bit later in the program. This is amazing as well from the Gateway Pundit. 750 GE employees walked out in protest of the Biden vaccine mandates Wednesday in Ohio. But did this make the national news for some reason? Well, it was sent to the Gateway Pundit by a GE engineer friend. Only 20% of the GE contract employees are reportedly vaccinated. More protests scheduled for next week. Thursday, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky endorsed the CDC Advisory Committee recommendations for a booster shot of COVID-19 vaccines in certain populations. And folks, what they're promoting now is mix and match. If you had the Moderna, you can get Johnson & Johnson, or you can get the other shot there as well. Mix and match going on big time, being promoted by the CDC. I've got some more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For over 200 years, the American judicial system has upheld a standard so strong that a person's very life can be ended based on this level of confidence. It is a verdict supported by evidence that is beyond a reasonable doubt. Did you know there is evidence demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that we have a creator? Most are unaware because it has been censored from textbooks. But now, you can have this information at your fingertips. In the beautifully illustrated hardcover book, Have You Considered? Evidence Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Bruce Malone and Julie Von Vett provide a series of unique devotions presenting evidence for every day of the year that points to the Creator. Evidence from biology, paleontology, botany, anatomy, and other scientific disciplines. Have You Considered? Is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
News Roundup today here on Crosstalk. Thank you for listening in and for being informed, for sharing the information with others. Thank you for supporting the local station financially with your gifts that enable them to provide the airtime for Crosstalk. Certainly pray for your local stations. Get behind and support them. A press release that came out yesterday afternoon from Liberty Counsel, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer has ordered Governor Janet Mills, health officials in the Maine Department of Health and Human Services, Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention, five of Maine's largest hospital systems, to respond by this Monday to Liberty Counsel's request for immediate relief for healthcare workers until it decides to review the case. From the New American, a New York City judge recently ruled that a father in a divorce and custody case may not visit his three-year-old daughter unless he gets one of the COVID-19 vaccines or submits to a stringent testing regime. Regimen, we'll get that correct. The dangers of voluntarily remaining unvaccinated during access with a child with the COVID-19 virus remains a threat to children's health and safety cannot be understated, the judge said. Merrick Garland in the news. Congressman Thomas Massey confronted Garland during a House Judiciary Committee hearing yesterday about the status of religious exemptions at the Department of Justice, ultimately concluding that it sounds like fraud is taking place. In other words, as I mentioned before, they say, oh, yes, we have religious exemptions, but when people apply for them, they will not grant them, or they make the application so cumbersome that they find a technicality saying, no, you don't qualify. Well, he was grilled on some of those issues yesterday.
Let me ask you about the vaccine mandate at the DOJ. Is it true that people, employees of the DOJ, can apply for a religious exemption?
The mandate, as I understand it, is a mandate which allows exceptions provided by law.
So,
Religious Freedom Restoration Act is a provision of law.
So the religious exemption has a basis in the Constitution, and so that's required to be constitutional. Can you tell me if anybody's been granted a religious exemption?
I don't know.
So I believe that it's fraud. In fact, fraud to tell people that you're going to preserve their constitutional religious accommodations by telling they can apply for an exemption and then not allowing any of those exemptions. And I'm sad to see that you can't tell us that anybody's been granted an exemption.
Ms. Dean.
Okay, Thomas Massey confronting the attorney general yesterday at this hearing. Let's see, Epoch Times reporting over 12,000 active duty Air Force personnel poised to not meet the upcoming deadline to be fully vaccinated against the virus. That's according to a release data from the military branch. In a new update on compliance, officials said 3.8% of the force remains unvaccinated as of October 18th. Well, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says a huge dose of partisan spending will fix everything, just not very soon. Certainly a lot of the challenges that we've been experiencing this year will continue into next year, he said. He was on the State of the Union, and here's what he had to say on the supply chain.
Well, certainly a lot of the challenges that we've been experiencing this year will continue into next year, but there are both short-term and long-term steps that we can take to do something about it. Look, part of what's happening isn't just the supply side, it's the demand side. Demand is off the charts. Retail sales are through the roof. And if you think about those images of ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast, you know, every one of those ships is full of record amounts of goods that Americans are buying because demand is up, because income is up, because the president has successfully guided this economy out of the teeth of a terrifying recession.
Isn't this amazing, folks? The reason why our store shelves are empty, the reason why we have a supply chain problem, is because the economy is doing so good. People have so much money in their pockets, they're going out and buying things. And as a result, the demand is so high, we can't get the supplies there across the country fast enough. This is the Transportation Secretary of the United States of America. Shipping costs have surged. $17,000 to ship a container to California. Do you know, under the Trump administration, just a year ago, that was $3,800? Now, $17,000? Now, I find it interesting that the White House spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, was triggered by a question about Transportation Secretary Buttigieg's extended absence from work during a supply chain crisis and responded with a lecture on paternity and maternity leave. Here's how that exchange went.
Well, certainly a lot of the challenges.
Let me get the right clip here.
Given the seriousness of the supply chain crisis and the multiple issues that you outlined, wouldn't it be wise for the secretary to get back on the bicycle, so to speak, and come back to work? A new poll found that 65% of voters think that given what's going on, he should come back to work.
He's at work.
He's on paternity leave.
I was on a conference call with him this morning.
He's in the department now every day.
Listen, Emerald, I think what you're getting at here is this question about whether men, parents, women should have paternity and maternity leave. And the answer is absolutely yes. In our view, that is the policy of this administration. That is what we're pressing to make law so it's a reality for women, parents, fathers across the country. And we're not going to back away from that.
Isn't that interesting? She wouldn't answer the question, is he in the office every day? And she, well, you're trying to get at his paternity leave, you know, because he and his so-called husband have adopted twins. Now, I'm going to give you an audio clip from history. 17 months ago, when Joe Biden was running for president, and how he criticized President Trump on the food shortage. And folks, see what we're happening. I mean, literally, we are seeing shelves emptied in many locations or types of food that are gone. Here's what Joe Biden said just 17 months ago. I wonder if he regrets saying these words. Would he still say them today? Let's listen.
We don't have a food shortage problem. We have a leadership problem. We have plenty of food. It's being plowed under. You've got, you're euthanizing cattle and pigs. They're out there making sure that they're pouring thousands of gallons of milk under the ground. It's not a food shortage. It's a lack of leadership, a lack of leadership. And the leadership goes across the board. One of the reasons why those processing plants aren't open is because they're not safe for people to work in those plants. Number one, they're not safe. They're not getting the protective gear they need. Number two, one of the reasons why we're not getting material and food to people's tables is because there's no way to get it transported to there. We don't know how to manage what's going on. For example, imagine if we were to say to the country that tell all those milk producers that just send all that milk to the bottling plant. The federal government will pay for it, and the federal government will give it away to all of the folks who need it. We'll give it away to all those charitable organizations that are out there trying to feed people, try to give people what they need. Imagine if we were willing to take the time. I mean, we have the best agricultural system in the world. It's the leadership that's we can't afford to let people go wondering where they're going to get their next meal. And so right now, hunger today isn't about scarcity. It's about massive failure in leadership.
Massive failure in leadership. I wonder if he still believes that today. Interesting, also from the town hall meeting last night, President Biden was asked about the scarcity of gas and basically said he had no answer for it. Listen.
So I must tell you, I don't have a near-term answer. There's two things I could do. I could go in the petroleum reserve and take out and probably reduce the price of gas, maybe 18 cents or so a gallon. It's still going to be above $3. Mm. And one of the things that I refused to have happen, because I didn't want anybody, I made a commitment, if you pass the stuff I'm talking about, not one single penny in tax would go against anybody making less than $400,000. And so if you notice, these highway bills are not paid for by gas tax. They're paid for by direct expenditures in other areas. Mm. So the average person doesn't have to pay more. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. There's a possibility to be able to bring it down. Depends on a little bit on Saudi Arabia and a few other things that are in the offing.
Hear that, folks? It depends upon Saudi Arabia and some of the other folks there. You know, the whole matter, we were energy dependent. We were exporting gasoline. But now we've shut down the pipeline after pipeline, stopped the drilling that and the approvals that had happened in Alaska and other locations. And he said, I've got no, I don't have a near-term answer. It's going to be hard. Amazing, folks, how fast this nation has turned. Another area that's going on, the Biden administration, can't get into the full story, you'll see it at westernjournal.com, secretly flying thousands of illegal migrants deep into the U.S. under the cover of night. I mean, we're talking going into a report that's going in from Chattanooga, Tennessee, reporting about migrant children flown in overnight, later bused to cities in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. In August, neighbors of the airport in Abilene, Texas, reported that the Biden administration were using it as a jumping-off point to fly illegal immigrants to points unknown across the country. Some of the places were upscale New York City suburbs of Westchester County and Jacksonville International Airport in Florida. Amazing. Thousands doing it under the cover of darkness. By the way, the Daily Wire is reporting that the man who allegedly violently raped a woman on a train in the Philadelphia area, onlookers watching, get out their cell phones to record everything but did nothing, is an illegal alien who reportedly has a criminal history and was supposed to be deported years ago. CBN News is reporting Panama has caught some 52 Al-Qaeda suspects headed to the USA as an all-time high of 1.7 million people flooding the U.S. border. They're catching Al-Qaeda suspects in Panama destined for the United States of America. And what does the U.S. doing? Well, I guess we got the Biden administration active. They announced another promotion this week for Transgender Assistant Health and Human Services Secretary Rachel Levine, who was sworn in Tuesday as a four-star admiral of the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps, for which in the press are describing him as the first female to reach the position despite being biologically male. A four-star general. Outraged citizens and lawmakers wondered why the State Department celebrated International Pronoun Day on Wednesday, amid a series of global crises that argued better deserved its attention, reports FoxNews.com. Today on International Pronouns Day, we share why many people list pronouns on their email and social media profiles, the department tweeted out. Don't have time to go more into that story. Indoctrination going on. Vermont High School holds a drag show during their halftime at football games. We've seen the professional football going woke. This is high school football going woke. Vermont Public School homecoming had a drag ball runway that is at halftime. A mix of students and faculty members parading in gowns, wigs, and makeup, and a big crowd in rainbow colors to cheer them on. We also have UConn. UConn's football team wearing pride helmet stickers for its game this week. Now we've added enter the college football ranks. The UConn Huskies have announced they plan to host their first ever LGBTQ Pride Night when they suit up Friday to play Middle Tennessee State. Time is going quickly, but let's open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We'll take a break. We'll come right back to your call, so get on board right away. With your brief comments here today, our telephone number, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The Canadian government is reporting that many of the militaries of the westernized world, which includes the United States and NATO, just held a big conference. And you know what their topic was? Cognitive warfare. Developing tools to counter cognitive warfare. The military with NATO is working on trying to find ways to control how you think, what you believe, and your behavior. It almost sounds completely sci-fi, but indeed, they are trying to find ways to control what you think, and how you act. Now, they're doing all of this under the guise of national security, claiming that they're concerned about American citizens that are becoming tools of China and Russia. Well, if they're worried about that, they should look at their own governments and military. This is really nothing more than the battle for the mind using transhumanism.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and taking your calls. Lines are packed right now. We'll get to your calls in a moment. For those of you in Wisconsin that have concerns regarding the controversial Article 5 convention, well, there is going to be a public hearing in Wisconsin this coming Tuesday, 10 o'clock in the morning, before a committee on Senate Joint Resolution 58 regarding an Article 5 convention that is taking place at the the Wisconsin State Capitol in Madison. This is a Senate holding the hearing. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got William calling in from East Troy. Hi, William. You're on the air.
Brother Jim, just a reminder, Mr. Biden has been promoting failure for 47 years in public office, so I think he just needs to be corrected on a few things. I wanted to thank you for bringing up the story about Mr. Biden mocking freedom. I called our senator here in Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, to ask her if she was in favor of the president mocking the freedom of choice. And as we know, these pro-homosexual, pro-abortion senators who keep promoting choice, saying that it's all about freedom of choice, now they have a president that they call their supreme leader who is mocking choice. So I think we need to be like the Lord Jesus said. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I think we need to hold these elected leaders to task and ask them for written responses when the president makes these types of stupid comments. So thank you for bringing that up today. God bless.
Thank you, William. Forrest in Northport, Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I work at a private Christian school in Florida, and we went through the COVID time like everybody and had quite a number of cases, but we don't believe in getting the jab. And the numbers at our school this year, we've gone through the gamut of having our number of cases last year. The numbers at our school this year are so low. We barely got any cases now, and I think it's because we allowed everybody to go through natural immunity. Nobody at our school, staff, kids, we have over 500 total, and they're not getting the shot, and the natural immunity is working.
Wow. Thank you for that report, Forrest. Mike in Somerset, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for everything you do and what the information you bring to us. But primarily, the Bible talks, or Jesus talked about binding a strong man before you can rob him. And this is exactly what they're doing. They're binding our freedoms. They're binding our ability to choose. They're denying religious exemption. They're binding our Constitution. And, they cannot bind my soul. They cannot bind my salvation.
Amen. Amen.
But the reality is they're binding the strong man, and they are going to rob us blind.
Hmm. Mike, thanks for sharing your concern. Jennifer in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks so much for having me. Hey, I just wanted to share a thought from the late, great Jimmy DeYoung today from his daily devotional. He said, "In the last days, men will pervert the truth. They will have difficulty telling the truth because they do not have him, Jesus Christ, who is the truth. The truth is that the opposite of truth, false teaching and deception, will get so bad that the truth will return to make everything right. Until that time, we must spread the truth, walk in the truth, and teach others the truth. Like John the Apostle, this will give us great joy." And he ends with this prayer thought, and I just ask everybody to meditate on this. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that sets me free. Mm. Help me to spread the truth to others.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jennifer, for that. And by the way, Lord willing, this coming Monday, Jimmy DeYoung Jr. will be our guest here on Crosstalk.
Amen.
Thanks for the call. Samuel in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Maranatha Jesus, and being in the last days here, we should be displaying love, peace, and joy with the soon coming of our Lord for those that do not know him. And I do every day wake up, no pejorative thoughts nor pejorative words.
Thank you, Samuel. Let's go to Dominique, Mukwonago, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Thank you for letting everyone know about the Senate hearing on Tuesday. We just testified yesterday at the Assembly hearing against the latest Article 5 convention, and we were really grieved that the legislators listened, or well, maybe they didn't, but everyone was showing how dangerous it was for the Constitution, and then they actually asked questions of their legislative counsel that were all answered according to the Constitution. They are legislating on the Article 5 convention, and they don't even know what Article 5 says. It is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And so anyone that can pray, that can come, that can submit written testimony against Convention of States, we have to stop this.
Thank you, Dominique. Again, that hearing is this Tuesday, 10:01 a.m. They're saying room 411 North at the State Capitol in Madison. Thank you for the call. We've got Wayne in Menominee Falls. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the gasoline oil situation in Saudi Arabia. I know that we've been getting oil from Jordan in that area, but do we think that Al-Qaeda is sitting there promising another terrorist attack on our country soon and letting the takeover of Taliban in Afghanistan is going to allow that, though? I mean, are they going to allow us to get to lower the oil prices? I don't think, if they're smart enough, I don't think they're going to allow that. But I guess time will tell.
Well, it looks like we are going to allow us to be so Middle East dependent upon oil once again. We broke free from those clutches, but we're making ourselves subservient to that once again here, Wayne.
But no, I was talking about Al Qaeda's side.
Okay.
Because the Arabs, you know, they have leased with us the oil, but with Al Qaeda promising another attack on America soon, the tensions there. That's what I was commenting on, basically. There.
Thank you, Wayne.
Just the raising or lowering of the gas prices too.
Thank you, Wayne. I'm going to squeeze one last call in. This is John in Greenfield. You're on the air.
Your admirable Mr. Daktok often says that Muslims don't know whether or not they're going to heaven. But I said older books say a man who dies in combat on behalf of Islam will be greeted in heaven and rewarded by 72 beautiful virgins who will wait on him for all eternity, feeding him delicious food. Has Mr. Daktok ever read that? That's in many books. And it explains how Muslim armies overran much of the world in only 100 years. You know, a lot of guys thought they were really going to get super rewarded.
Well, sadly, the reward is one of eternal punishment in the lake of fire. That's what Scripture says. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, we have no desire that that is your destiny. And that's why we so encourage you to put your trust in Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation, none other name under heaven whereby we can be saved, the name of Jesus. Thanks for listening today. Don't forget the Lord's Day is coming. Be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.